Proverbs chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 12, read down to the end of the chapter, and then I'll redirect you over to the fourth chapter. Proverbs 2:12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead, and none that go into her return again, neither take hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. In this portion of Scripture, and I know I probably should have pointed this out to you. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this again because I started in verse 12, and I really wanted to start in verse 10. Let's just read it again. But I want you to look and listen for two phrases that we're going to point out in Proverbs 2, in Proverbs 4, and in other places in the Bible. It's pretty amazing that the word way or ways is found in the book of Proverbs over 75 times. And the word paths rounded out so that if you put them together, over 100 times God talks about either our way of our ways, which by the way means our road or the path or the direction that we take. Over 100 times in the book of wisdom, God is telling us to be careful in the path or the road or the way or the direction that we choose in our walk. Now think about that and look for those phrases and those words as I reread it, Proverbs 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth, and forsaketh and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead, none that go unto her return again, neither take hold of the paths of life, that thou, notice this, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, if you go to chapter 4, we get a similar portion, kind of a concentrated portion of Scripture that deals with this, and then all through the book of Proverbs, my goodness, if we had the time. Proverbs 4, verse 10, hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, that the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they have caused some to fall. They eat the bread of wickedness, and they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would speak to us, please, in the message today. And Lord, I pray as we are at the beginning of a new year, you'd help us, Lord, to make very sure that in all of the key areas of our lives, we are on the right path, we are on the right road. And so, Lord, I pray that you would deal and speak very specifically with your children today. And of course, Lord, we're going to end the message by talking to those that may be without Christ here today. And of course, every single one of us, there was a time when we were not saved. I remember when I came into a church and was not a Christian, had never received Christ as my Savior. I thank God that I heard gospel preaching and gospel messages that opened my heart and made me ready and willing to receive Christ. I pray for that one that may need to be saved today. Please work in their lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I told our young adult class I was going to preach a message entitled, and this is the title, Chicago or Indianapolis? Chicago or Indianapolis? They immediately were convinced that this was going to be about football. It's not going to be about football. Why would a Chicago Bears fan want to talk about football? Although there's a lot of similarities this year between the Chicago Bears and the Indianapolis Colts. Both have lost at least one game. So that's one of the similarities right there. After that, they get a little hard to find, but I'm not going to preach football today. Chicago or Indianapolis? Listen to me this morning. I want to help you. I want to help you. Boy, this is a great time of year just to ask the Lord to check our paths and check our ways and make sure we're on the right road. And folks, the word ways is a lot of times in the plural. You know what? We can be on the right path in some areas of our lives and be on the wrong path in some other areas. I mean, that's just the way it is. About 10 years ago, I was trying to guess back, and I'm just guessing, probably 10, 12 years ago, me and my wife and our girls took a trip, got away just for a few days, went down to the St. Louis area and spent just a little mini vacation. If I remember, we were only down there 2 or 3 days, just one of those quick getaway type things. And we were traveling back fairly late at night, and drove across. Of course, as you leave St. Louis, you drive across the Mississippi River. You're on I-70, and our goal was to head towards, all of the signs, of course, would tell you you're heading to Indianapolis. About 10 miles across the Mississippi River, there's a highway, an interstate, 55, that heads off of I-70 and shoots up north and goes, Brother Abel's run that, I'm sure, many times, heads to Chicago. I had no intention of wanting to go to Chicago, didn't want to go to Chicago, didn't mean to go to Chicago, didn't plan on going to Chicago. But somewhere in the course of that little brief time after you cross the Mississippi River, you got about 10 miles where they run together and then they split off. I wasn't paying attention, apparently, or probably I was distracted in some way, or probably the signage just was not up to what it should have been. But all I know is I was traveling along with all of my heart, believing that I was on I-70 heading to what should have been the way to Indianapolis. And a realization hit me about 45 minutes after I had gotten on I-55 that I was not on I-70. Just a couple things began to kind of catch my attention. First of all, a few landmarks I didn't remember seeing on the way there. And then I began to kind of start to doubt myself, so I started looking for some other things. And in a matter of course, I began to realize and then pulled over and affirmed that I was not on the highway that I should have been on. Now, let me just give you a very simple thought, simple couple thoughts, and then we'll develop a little bit today. But let me say this, folks. It's not just important which destination you choose. It's important that you check to make sure that you are on the right road that's going to lead you to that destination. Did you get that? Let that sink in a minute. You see, there's a lot of people that think that their hope is to arrive at a certain point, but they're on a road that does not go that way. I mean, in my heart of hearts, I wanted to head to Indianapolis. But you know what? I was on a road that does not go to Indianapolis. It doesn't matter what my good intentions were. It doesn't matter that I wanted to go that direction and that was my choice of destination. If I had stayed on the road I was on, folks, look at the map. 55 does not go to Indianapolis. It just doesn't go to Indianapolis. The road you choose determines your destination. Despite what you say your destination is or where you want to end up in life, the road you choose is going to take you to its destination. So it's not enough that you choose the right destination. You need to choose the right road that's going to lead you to that destination. You see, first of all, you determine your destination. Then you make sure that you choose the road that will get you there. Now let me say this, and I've certainly proved this point. It is possible to believe that you are on the right road when you are not. It is possible to believe that you are on the right road when you are not. You know what? Two different times in the book of Proverbs, we find the same verse repeated. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so there are a lot of people that really feel like they're on the right road and that road's going to take them to a certain destination. They think that they are heading somewhere they are not. But you see, what we have to do as Christians, and we need to do this often in our Christian life, is to make sure that we have not unwittingly got off on some side road, got off on the wrong interstate, got headed in the wrong direction in an area of our life. And you know what? Our intentions are all right, and our goals are still pure, and where we're hoping to end up is still okay. But folks, if you're not on a biblical road that's going to take you to that destination, then you're not going there. You're not going there. Now, I want to help you because I think that there are some things, some Bible principles that will help you to determine this morning, Brother Jerry, okay, all right, I'm going to entertain the thought that maybe, you know what, maybe the destination that I am shooting for and the road that I'm on, maybe they are not in sync. I'm at least willing to open my life up to God, to the Spirit of God this morning and say, God, if I am on the wrong road in some area of my life, show me. Because, folks, you know what, I could have said all the way, I could have said on I-55, I'm going to Indy. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to Indy. You know what? I'm going to Indy. No, someone say, hey, you're going to Chicago. No, I'm not. I'm going to Indy. But you know what? It wouldn't matter how many times I said it. If I'd have stayed on that road, you know where I would have ended up? I'd have ended up in Chicago. And what I'm here to tell you, and young people, please listen to me. Some of you are choosing roads right now. You're choosing the paths that you're gonna follow. You're choosing the ways that you're gonna follow. Let me say this. You need to make sure that you choose the right path, the right way. You need to understand that there is the possibility that you could be on a road that seems right to you. But you know what? The end of the destination is nothing that you want. Nothing that you want. You know what? If you got on that stretch there of 70 and 55 and you drove it, you know what, for a long time, it didn't seem like that they were much different. It didn't seem much different. It took me, listen, I went 45 minutes down that road before I figured out that I was on the wrong road. You know, for the first 30 minutes, I didn't have an inkling. It didn't seem like there was that much of a difference. And that's why the wrong paths, the wrong ways are sometimes so deceiving. Sometimes I've seen young people that have gotten off on a wrong path, and I go to them and I'm concerned about them, and I say, listen, I think you need to consider, well, Brother Jerry, I haven't changed anything. And they look around, I'm still heading where I've always headed. It don't look any different to me. And it's very subtle the way Satan in some areas of our life can get us on a wrong road. But listen, it may not seem like there's much difference. You know, for a while there I could say, hey, I'm still going east. Going maybe a little northeast, but I'm still going east. Still going in the same general direction. But you know what? Pretty soon, they begin to divide and divide. Matter of fact, after 45 minutes, I didn't really want to turn around, come all the way back. So I pulled over and got the map out. I was looking for a secondary road. And you know what I figured out? I had already gotten to a point where a secondary road was going to be farther than for me to just turn around and go back, especially having to drive a secondary road. Now listen, young people, I don't want you lost on some secondary road 5 years from now trying to find your way to the right road. I want you to listen to your preacher this morning, and if you're on the wrong road, I want you to turn around like I did, drive back, mutter all the way, because that's what I did, and pay the price, and you know what? Learn a lesson and get on the right road and take off again, because you know what? It's far better to realize that 45 minutes into the trip than it is, listen to me, 5 years down the wrong road. 5 years down the wrong road. Now, Brother Jerry, how do I know if I'm on the right road? Listen very carefully. How do I know if I'm on the right road? I'm going to preach mostly to Christians, and at the end of this, I do want to speak to those that may not be saved. How do I know if I'm on the right road? Well, let me just give you this thought. First of all, watch for road signs. Watch for road signs. Let me say this. God is good about putting up road signs, putting up warning signs if you're on the wrong road. You know what? I was traveling along there. One of the first indications that I might be on the wrong road is when I saw a sign that said Chicago, 141 miles. You know, there just something, and it was one of those things where I kind of, you know, it went by. You know how you're not really looking for a sign and you kind of glance over and it kind of went by fast and you're going, did that say what I thought it said? You ever had God give you one of those just kind of quick signs that flew by and just enough to get your attention, put a little bit of doubt, but put a little bit of a warning in your, did that say what it says? Now, I could have said, well, you know what? I think it said Chicago. Pretty sure it did. But it was 141 miles away. And you know what? That's a long ways. So even though I don't want to go to Chicago, I don't have a problem for quite a while. Yeah, I got a problem right now. You know why? Because I don't want to go to Chicago. And that road don't go to... Are you listening to me? Are you getting this? Warning signs. Pretty soon another sign came by. I began to look for signs. Hey, some of you, you know what this sermon is today? It's just a road sign. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I can't tell you how many times when I got in my spiritual life, I've got off on the wrong road. And you know what? God sent some preacher, some evangelist, some missionary. They came to a pulpit. They preached a message. Sometimes it's not even the whole message. Sometimes it was just one quick sentence. It was that flashing sign that drove by that said, hey, hey, are you really on the right road? Do you really want to end up where this road's going to take you? Have you really considered where this road is going? And sometimes I've looked around and said, well, I know I've seen that sign, but I think it's right. It don't look that much different. And you know what, folks? There's just, you know what? Come on, men. Help me a little bit here. It's hard for a man to say, I went the wrong way. Matter of fact, most of us never say that. We'll make up excuses. We'll say, no, this is, I intended to go this way. I'm just taking the scenic route. I wanted to show you kids. But... it's hard. There's just something about our pride that says, no, I'm right. Wait a minute. There's a way that seemeth right to a man. But you know what? That doesn't mean it's always the right way. And so sometimes it's a sermon. Sometimes it's a friend. Listen, I'm talking about a real Christian friend. I'm not talking about somebody who's a fake. I'm talking about a real Christian friend. I'm not talking about somebody that's just coming to dog you or make you feel bad, but somebody that comes alongside you and loves you and just says, listen, you've just been on my heart. I'm not saying that you're bad. I'm not saying that you're wrong in every area, but you're worrying me. There's some area of your life I feel like you're... Listen, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. Just consider it. Just consider it. Those signs come by. Those signs come by. Watch for signs. Watch for signs. Watch for signs. Have you seen a few? Has God already sent? Is this just the third sign or the fourth sign or the fifth sign? How many signs and how far are you going to go before you really start backing off the gas pedal? You really start thinking maybe I ought to check into this a little bit more carefully. So number one, watch for road signs. Number two, use your map. Use your map. You know what? I finally did. I finally watched until I seen a definite exit. I seen a definite road sign. I pulled over. I got my map out and I traced I-70 and realized there was no such exit. I traced I-55 and realized, boom, you know what? That's where I'm at. That's where I'm at. I'm not where I thought I was. I'm over here. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Rand McNally's done us a great favor by providing us good quality maps that we can take. And you know what? If we get lost, we can open them up. And if we'll just pay attention a little bit, I mean, our highway department has put mile markers. The exits numbers are marked. The maps correspond to the road markers most of the time, at least about half the time they correspond. You know, most of the time, it really, in America, are you kidding me? You know what? God's given us a map. God's given us a map. Now, let me just say this, and I can't teach the entire thing. Can I just give you a quick little sampling? I'm going to tell you something. Spend some time in the book of Proverbs. If you have any doubt that you might be on the wrong road, the book of Proverbs is a great book to just really spend some time in, because I'm going to tell you, this book speaks a lot about the right ways and the wrong ways and the right path and the wrong path. And you won't read it very long if you're saved without God letting the map tell you whether or not you're on the right road or not. The Bible tells us that there's many different roads, many different ways. Some you should travel and some you should avoid. For instance, we won't look at all these verses, but Proverbs 1:10 and 1:15 speaks of the way of sinful enticers. While Proverbs 2:8 speaks on the way of God's saints. Proverbs 2:12 and 4:14 warns of the way of evil men, while Proverbs 2:20 promotes the way of the good man. Proverbs 12:15 condemns the way of the foolish, while Proverbs 4:11 extols the way of wisdom. Proverbs 8:13 speaks of an evil way, while Proverbs 8:20 and 11:15 counters by telling us of the way of wisdom. Proverbs 13:15 warns us of the way of that the way of the transgressor is hard. Boy, I wish you'd listen to that. Proverbs 13:15. The way of the transgressor is hard, yet Proverbs 6:23 encourages us to walk in the way of instruction. Proverbs chapter 7, chapter 30 warns us of the way of immorality and the horrible destination that awaits those that travel that road. Yet Proverbs 9:6 gives us good advice to instead walk in the way of understanding. What I'm saying is this. By the way, let me just share this with you. Preacher, I'm going to tell you something. Right now, there's two roads, and I'm trying to make a decision, and I really do. From the depths of my heart, I want to make the right decision. I've had probably four or five people in my office in the last 4 weeks, and I think I've given this piece of advice at least four times, maybe five times. Sometimes we're trying to decide the right direction or if we're on the right road or which of the two roads ahead of us is really the perfect will of God. And one of the things that I have said, and by the way, if it's a choice between right and wrong, you know what? If you come and ask me, and I can open the Bible and show you that one's wrong and one's right, I'm going to do that. You know why? Because that's what my job is. But sometimes it's not a matter of right and wrong. Sometimes it's just a matter of, Lord, do you want me to go this direction or that direction? Do you want me to take this job or that job? Do you want me to move to this place or stay where I'm at? And you know what? I have told folks, this is what I told them. This isn't a decision of right or wrong. This is a matter of discerning the perfect will of God. And every single time that I have found myself in that situation in the last several years, what I have done was I have spent an extended amount of time just reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. You know what? There's just something about saturating yourself in the Scripture, saturating yourself in the Word of God. I'm talking about blocking off large portions of time, extended amounts of time, just to cleanse my mind, just to give the Holy Spirit plenty of food for thought, just to give the Scriptures a chance to speak. And it's not always that I found that magical verse that says this is what you're supposed to do, but it's amazing how if you just spend enough time in the map book, how you can start figuring out which direction God wants you to go. And there has been times, as I've read, that God has used a specific portion of Scripture to give me clarity as far as a decision in my life. Now, what I'm saying is this. You know what? We sometimes just, you know what? We don't want to entertain the thought that we might be on a wrong road. We kind of ignore the stop signs and we just keep the pedal to the metal. And wait a minute, maybe right now at the beginning of 2010, it's the right time to just pull over and consult the map. Pull over and spend some time in the Scriptures. Pull over and let the Word of God speak to you in a powerful way in your life. Listen, you want to make sure that you're on the right road. So number one, watch for road signs. Number two, use your map. Use the Bible. Number three, let me give you this thought. How do I know if I'm on the right road? Ask for directions. Ask for directions. Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 18, every purpose is established by counsel. Look right here, listen to me. I think a lot of times if you watch for the road signs and if you spend time in the Bible, you know what? It's not that God cannot, through the Holy Spirit, we'll talk about the Holy Spirit and His work in our lives in just a minute, but it isn't that you cannot make a right decision. But I'm going to tell you, there are too many verses in Proverbs that point out the safety of Bible counsel for you to ignore it in your life. I'm going to make a statement here. I've never had a young person who voluntarily, and I mean regularly, came in and sat down with their preacher and said, before I make this decision, I just want to bounce it off you. I've never had a teenager that did that on a consistent, regular basis that got off on a wrong road. Never. I said never. I said never. I said never. But I could run down the list of the ones that wouldn't listen to mom, their mother's counsel, wouldn't listen to their father's counsel, wouldn't listen to their preacher's counsel. And next thing you know, they're off on some crazy road that they have no intention. And you know what? It's not even the destination they think it's going to lead them to, but it's going to lead them to that destination. Listen, never get to the point where you're not willing to pull over, get out, walk into a gas station and say, I think that I'm on the right road, but I'm not sure. You're here. You're local. Is that my reading this right? Just straight ahead. You only 2 more miles, you're there. Okay. Have you ever done that? Most women have. Most men have not. Amen. But amen. Amen. I mean, there's times in my life when I'm pretty sure, but you know what? I don't want to just waste a bunch more time. I'm going to stop. It's going to take 2 or 3 minutes to ask for advice. It's going to take 45 minutes back to make the wrong decision. Why wouldn't I just ask? I wonder when we get to heaven, how many of our times in our life are going to, how much of our life that God granted us, that God gave us, is going to be going down these dead-end roads. Turn around, come back. Another dead-end road, come back. And there's somebody standing right there that knows which way to go and knows the right road, but we just can't lay our pride aside and say, you know what? God's given some people into my life that have some godly discernment and some Bible knowledge, and you know what? Even if I think I'm doing it right, it wouldn't hurt to get some Bible counsel. Amen? Let me give you this last thought. How do I know if I'm on the right road? Watch for the road signs. Use your map. Ask for directions. Listen to this. Listen to your inward GPS. How many of you have a TomTom or a Garmin or one of those computer? Wow, I thought it'd be more than that. All of you just still use the map? When those things first came out, I made fun of them. I really did. I'm sorry. I have one now, so be patient with me, but I made fun of them. I'm like, okay, this is what we have to do now. We have to get this little computer box, and we got to put it on our window, and it's got to tell us how to get to the grocery store. It's got to tell us how to, can't anybody just open an atlas and read it anymore? You know, somebody's got to say, turn right, turn left, turn right, turn left. And you know what's disturbing is almost every one of them, it's a woman's voice. That may be why so many of you don't have one, you know. I mean, it's like, I don't need a GPS. She's right there in the seat beside me, always telling me which way I'm supposed to go, where I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to drive. But, I used to make fun of them, and I really did. And then a year ago Christmas, Tabitha worked. She works a job. Some of you guys, I'll think about that. She works a job. Got some money and wanted to do something nice for her mom and dad, so she bought us one of those Garmin things. And see, here's a guy that's made fun of it, and I open it up. And then, of course, he's like, and I got to go, man, I always wanted this. Is she in here tonight? Is she here? Where? There she is. All right. I was like, man, that's fantastic. Oh, wow, you got this for me? I'm thinking, these are stupid. You know, why would she? Why did she buy this for me? I know how to read a map, you know. And I'm like, yeah, that's great, you know. Well, then I took the first trip, and she's, you know, every good daughter, you know, hey, Dad, have you used it yet? Have you? And I said, well, I'm going to, you know. So I took a trip. I said, all right, here's the address. I'll punch it in, punch the address in, hang it on there. And, you know, when I was leaving Jasonville, it seemed a little silly. You know, it would tell me when I got to the end of my driveway, turn left, I'm like, I think I know that. Get down to the gravel road, you know, turn left, I know. And you know what's cool is sometimes when it said turn left, I just turned right anyway, you know. I just love to hear it say, recalculate, recalculate, recalculate. I just go in around the block. It's just freaking it out, you know. And but you know what? Watch this. You know what? There are some places that I went that I wasn't familiar with as I am around here. When we flew out to take Tabitha to college last September, we flew out there, landed, rented a car. They said, do you want to go ahead and rent a GPS? Now, understand, I've had one for a year now. And I looked at her, she said, it's a little extra money. I said, I want it. You know why? Because I'm not in my driveway. Are you listening? Are you hearing me? I'm somewhere I've never been before. And you know what I did? There was 3 places I had to get to. I had to get to our motel, I had to get to the college, and I had to get to the airport. That's only three. So you know what I did? I typed in all three addresses, and then we're at the airport, and I push on there the address of the college, and you know what? That thing said, turn right. And you know what? I didn't say, I know. You know why? Because I didn't know. I've never been there before. Can I say this, folks? You know why God's given you His Holy Spirit? It's not that the Bible's not important. It's not that you don't already know some things that are just cut and dried from the Bible. But let me tell you something. There are areas and times and phases of your life that you're going to go into, and you've never been there before. You've never been there before. Me and my wife are going into the empty nest phase. Guess what? We didn't get a practice one. If we did, it was so long ago, I don't remember it. Maybe we had a few months, I don't know. But you know what? Hey, some of you are just starting a family. You've never been there before. Some of you are just getting where your kids are getting ready to go into school for the first time. You've not been there before. Some of you have kids that are turning into teenage. You've never been there before. Are you listening to me? What I'm saying is this: the sweet Holy Spirit of God is, and I'm not being disrespectful, but He is that inward GPS. He is that still small voice. And listen, when He says turn right, you ought to turn right. Have you ever been in a situation where, you know what, you don't know why, you really can't explain it to this day, it's not like you could visibly see that something was wrong, but you had this still small voice that said, you need to get out of here, or you need to turn away from here, or you need to go a different direction? Listen, decisions in life are sometimes like that. As I've given counsel, I've told folks, listen, when it boils right down to it, you have to listen to the voice of Almighty God. You have to hear Him. And thank God I've got good news for you. If you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God has taken up resident in your life, and He's not there just to seal you, although He's there to seal you to the day of redemption. He's not there just to be the earnest of our salvation, but He is the earnest of our salvation. But He's also there to direct us in the ways that we should go. And let me say this, folks. Sometimes we've looked at everything we know that the Bible can teach us, and we've listened and got all the counsel we know to get, and we've looked at all the road signs, and we haven't ignored them, but we still, and you know what? Isn't it wonderful when the sweet, sweet voice, that still small voice, assures us or warns us or directs us in the way that we ought to go? Listen, folks, what I want as your pastor for you in 2010 is this. I want you to, number one, make sure you're on the right road. So many folks get on the wrong road. They get on the wrong road. Let me throw this scenario at you as we wrap it up. If somebody's leaving St. Louis and cross the Mississippi River and they get on I-55, and I see them go on I-55, and I call them on their cell phone because I'm going on I-70. I said, hey, were you wanting to go to Indianapolis? Yeah. Well, you're on the wrong road. I don't think I am. I think you're on the wrong road. Well, okay, but you're on the wrong road. Well, I don't think so. If somebody else calls me 3 hours later and say, did you hear about so-and-so? What? They are in Chicago. Do you think I'm going to be shocked? Do you think I'm going to be surprised? You think I'm going to go, oh, where did that come from? How did that happen? God's not fair. You know what? Ding dong. If you get on I-55 north coming out of St. Louis, you're going to go to Chicago. I've taken that road. I've experienced it. I can tell you you're going to end up in Chicago. I've taken 70. I've experienced. I know if you take 70 and you go far enough, you're going to end up in Indianapolis. You know what? A lot of times I'm disappointed that somebody ends up at a destination, but seldom am I surprised when somebody ends up at a destination. You know what? Because you're going to go not where you say you want to be, but you're going to go where the road that you choose leads you. So young people, if you choose the path of rebellion, you know what? I'm not going to be shocked in 4, 5, 3, 2, how many years when something goes crazy in your life. I'm not going to be shocked about it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be shocked. Hey, you know why we get stones thrown at us? You know where the accusation, you know why we're called legalists? Please listen to me. Because we don't just preach against the destination, we preach against the road that leads to the destination. Now, a liberal church might preach against the destination, but they're not going to say anything about the road. But you know what? How can you be against the destination if you're not against the road? So let me just say, in 2010, well, we've got a fresh, brand new, crisp new year. We've just taken the wrapping off of it. There it is. The first thing before we go into this year is let's all of us in every area. Listen, hey, is your marriage on the right road? Is your marriage on the right road? Hey, teenager, is your attitude on the right road? Are you getting this? Hey, children, is your obedience on the right road? Is your relationship with your mom and dad on the right road? Hey, wives, are you on the right road in every area of your... Men, are you on the right road? Hey, let's take a count here. If we were to sit down and say, okay, preacher, in 5 years or 10 years, these are the things that I want to be true in my life. This is where I want to be in my life in 5 or 10 years. Write them down. Make sure that they square up with the Bible. And then check to make sure that you are on the road that's going to take you there. All right? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd help us. The Bible says to ponder the paths of our feet. The Bible warns us that there's a way that seemeth right to a man, and that we can be wrong. We can think we're on the right road and be headed for the wrong destination. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your tender watch signs, your warning signs, your road signs that just kind of pop up, it seems like, in those key times in our life when helps us catch early on, maybe when we've gone a little bit down the wrong road. Thank you for the Bible, the map book of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for those that you put in our life that'll give us some godly counsel and help us sometimes find out exactly where we are and where we need to be. And then, Lord, also that sweet Holy Spirit of God, I would pray and ask God that you would continue to help us to be very tender to the Spirit of God. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let me just quickly say this. There are two roads that the Bible talks about that determines your eternal destiny. Matthew 7 says, "Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The Bible talks about a broad way. Most men are on it. The Bible says the majority of the human race is on it. They think that they're going to end up in heaven, and the honest truth is they're going to end up in hell. Because they're trusting in either religion, they're trusting in something that happened at a church. Well, I joined it, I got baptized. They're trusting in all kinds of different things. Sometimes they're trusting in the fact that they're a good person. Well, I'm good enough, I'll be all right. Sometimes they're trusting in an ungodly philosophy. Well, I just don't believe in heaven. I just don't believe in God. I don't have to worry about it. It's not there. You know what? The road that you're on is going to lead to a certain destination. Unbelief will take you to hell. Repentance and faith will take you to heaven. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again. And you know what? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Everybody here, just for the next 10 or 15 seconds, please consider that and make sure that you are on the road that's going to lead to heaven. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? Do you know for sure if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? If you've nailed that down, if you can look back at a time in your life where you heard the gospel preached, you came under conviction of sin, you chose to receive Christ as your Savior, your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that's it, nothing else, then you're saved. And you know what? You're on the road that will lead you to eternal life. If you've never been saved, you were born onto that wide, broad way. You must be saved to get off of it. And so I would pray that you'd be saved today. Lord, bless, Lord. Please, our invitation time, we pray in Jesus' name.